All right, you guys, I am super excited. You guys can take a seat. But my friend Crispin Weeks is going to read scripture this morning. So, George asked him to read scripture a while ago because you memorized a verse, right? So this is like your prize. I don't know. Anyhow, yeah, go ahead, Crispin. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Crispin. I will be reading the scripture today. I'm reading from Romans 12, 1 to 2. Hear the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Crispin. Awesome. Thanks. Give Crispin a hand. That's kind of cool. Yeah. So George's sermon title this morning was or is Expectations Are Overwhelming. Expectations are overwhelming. Can you guys feel that at all? I can feel that a little bit. But I'm not going to preach on that today. And I'm looking forward to hearing that message from George down the road at some point in time. This morning, I want to do just a little bit of looking back into 2025, just a little bit. And then I'm going to challenge us all to consider a new practice, maybe not a new practice, but a practice to really implement in our lives for 2026. And I worked on this morning. I'm really hoping and praying that my primary goal for 2026 would be that I want to grow closer to Jesus Christ this year. I hope we have secondary goals. I hope we have other goals too. But man, could that be our primary wish, our primary prayer, that we want to grow closer to Jesus Christ this year? And I want to focus today on one critical tool that I think is, man, it is so undervalued and misunderstood. And I really want to lean into it a little bit this morning. Earlier, I mentioned I had a great Christmas. And again, if you're in my community group, if you're in one of my Sunday school classes, if you're one of my students that's in a small group, man, you heard me harp on this, didn't you? This Advent season, I was really trying to focus on it. I was making it known that in my life, I've had many Christmases. I've had a lot of them. But there's been many where I just missed it. January 1st rolled around. And yeah, I had some good food, went to some good parties, saw some pretty lights, but I just felt empty. I didn't feel like Christmas came and went and I missed it. So this year I was harping on it to all my classes, like, I'm not going to do it, so I'm going to try to bring you with me. And I resisted this year and I fought hard not to miss what I desire most for Christmas. And that is, what do I want most for Christmas? We should have, that's what the sermon was about the last 3 weeks. But man, what I desire most for Christmas is to experience the power, the presence, and the peace of God. Man, that's what my desire was, and praise God. I intentionally set aside time to read Advent devotionals daily. I intentionally listened to Christian Christmas music, and I didn't get sick of it. Man, there's a lot of good Christian Christmas music up there, and I went after it this year. I listened to some very encouraging teaching and podcast. I intentionally sought out community and had some really fun Christ-centered Christmas parties. It was awesome. I went to church, and I was excited about it, and I was hungry to hear God's word. And I resisted letting the material side of Christmas and the lies of this world control me. Guess what happened? I had a Merry Christmas. Praise God. Praise God. I have a confession now. Working for a church can often make it hard to experience God the way I want to. Oops, did I say that out loud? But it's true. I said, working for a church can often make it hard to experience God the way I want to. Pastors like you and me, like everyone, man, we have to fight. We really have to fight if we truly want to experience the power, the presence, and the peace of God. We all have to do it. Personally, my job at the church is, man, the church budget and the day-to-day operations, man, they can take over all of my heart and my mind. And as pastors, we have the privilege of being asked into some really difficult situations that people are walking through just to help navigate them through those situations. And the hard part is we don't have the answers all the time. And we can carry that. And I don't know if you guys know this or if you've heard about it, but some people are just not happy with the church. I don't know if you knew that. Or the way we actually do church here. So we get to kind of work with some disgruntled people just navigating that. So more often than I like to admit, I'm working for God, but I'm not experiencing what I desire most. And again, that's to feel to be in His presence, to feel His power, to know His peace. But you know what I've found in my life too is when I fight for it, God does not let me down. He doesn't let us down. Last week, I was taking my dog out for a hike, and I was listening to a Christian music artist I love named Leland, and he sings one of my most powerful go-to songs. Do you guys have go-to songs, like when nothing's working? I went to that song, and the song is entitled Where You Are, and I'm not a singer. Matthew would sing it. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read some of the words, all right? But it says simply, I can't get enough. No, I can't get enough of your amazing love. I can't get enough. Then it says, I can't walk away. No, I can't walk away. For I've seen your face, and I can't walk away. And the chorus says, I just want to be where you are. I just want to be near your heart. There's nothing like your love. There's nothing like your love. And again, the song just wrecks me. I just long to be with Jesus. To be close to Him and to be away from the hard stuff in this life. And then on that walk with my dog, it was like amazing. Because, it made me realize that a lot of the stuff I'm carrying has nothing to do with Jesus. And He gives me that perspective. So what I've been trying to explain to you this morning on my day yesterday and even on my walk with my dog is this practice called Sabbath. I think it's a really, really important practice, the practice of Sabbath. And I think maybe a better description of practicing Sabbath is the name of this book that I'm going to share. This is probably the most important book, maybe the most important book I read in 2025. And it's called The Practice of Sabbath as Resistance. Sabbath as Resistance. That's what I think of Sabbath as resistance. Saying no to our culture. Saying no to our culture of now. Our culture says now. We need instant gratification. Our culture also says we get value from production. And Sabbath is resistance against both of those things. This morning, I'm going to be referencing this book written by Walter Brueggemann. I don't know if I said his name right. But again, Sabbath as resistance. Write it down. And my hope is today that we can understand Sabbath better and that each one of us can understand if you truly want to grow closer to Jesus Christ in 2026, Sabbath is important to understand what it really is. I think it's misunderstood a lot. Okay, I said that already, sorry. Let me pray for us real quick. Father, I do pray right now that the Holy Spirit would stir in us and we would have an authentic desire more than anything else in this world to want to grow closer to you. I pray that we could actually understand that that's where peace and purpose is found, and it is not found anywhere else that's going to last or mean anything in 100 years. Father, I am grateful for your peace that you provided to me yesterday. I know that it wasn't anything I manufactured. It was a gift from you. Father, we do pray for George. I know he put a lot of time in this week and the last couple weeks actually preparing for this morning. And I know his heart is heavy this morning because he wants to be here. I just pray your peace would fall on him right now, that he could actually rest today and knowing that you love him deeply and you care for him. Father, I do ask your blessing on the words that are going to be said. Man, I wanted to honor you. Help me as I wander through my notes here. May I only say things that are pleasing and true, that bring honor to you. Again, I do pray for your help to help us all understand how important Sabbath is and what it really is. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as many of you know, Pastor Matthew has been leading us through the book of Exodus. We've been off for a couple weeks with the Christmas season, but we're going to be picking up that study in a couple weeks in January here, I think towards the end of January. And one of the highlights, I think, of 2025 of Matthew's teaching in Exodus was teaching us the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandment movements. And Matthew's on vacation for a couple weeks, but he's going to be off vacation for the next 10 minutes or so. Can you come up here? He's going to lead us through the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments, man, are you mic'd? Are you on right now?
I think I am. Yeah,
he said something really powerful about what the Ten Commandments are, because I think we think they are rules. But you said, help me, they're a reflection.
That the commandments are a reflection of the character of God.
Yeah. Man, that is so good. That is good. Because I think we just think, I don't need to know them because they're just more rules I'm not going to be able to follow.
Yeah.
But I think actually knowing them well is actually helps us to understand better who God is. So most people say they know the Ten Commandments, but if you quiz them, they would fail. So we have a great little tutorial here of how to help you remember the Ten Commandments. Everyone stand up for a second and follow along. This is an interactive experience.
Okay, so some of you might be guests and you don't know these. We did these for quite a while when we were working through the Ten Commandments series. But many of you do know them, and so you'll be able to respond as we make our way through the Ten Commandments. And this is just a little way to hopefully try and remember them. So first commandment is what?
One God.
You shall have no other God before me. Second commandment is what? Do not bow down to and worship or serve other gods, right? Third commandment is? Do not misuse Yahweh's name. Do not misuse Yahweh's name. This one you're going to get because it's what Jim is talking about this morning. Fourth commandment is? Rest. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Set it apart. Fifth commandment, which my mom and dad right here this morning, wave mom and dad. Here they are. Oh, dad loves that I'm calling him out. Loves that. So happy George is sick so he could be called out this morning. Because what I'm doing right now is what? Honor your father and mother and you will live long in the land. Sixth commandment, everybody's favorite. Do not murder. Do not murder. Seventh commandment is what? Marriage is between one man and one wife, not five wives. One man, do not commit adultery. Eighth commandment is what? Some countries, they cut your thumbs off if you do this. Do not steal. Ninth commandment, Four is not five. Four is not five. Do not bear false witness. Tenth commandment, second favorite, do not covet. Do not covet, right? All right. Well, that didn't take 10 minutes.
That's good. It's all right. You know, thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. All right. You're on vacation again. Thank you. He's back on vacation. That was awesome. But yeah, we're going to focus on the fourth commandment today. And I actually want to read it to you from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Again, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, your livestock, or your resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. So yeah, Patrick Miller is a guy that's quoted in this book. I don't know him. But he teaches that the fourth commandment is this crucial bridge that actually connects all of the Ten Commandments together. The fourth commandment looks back at the first three commandments and sees that there's an almighty God that does amazing things and he rests. And then at the same time, the fourth commandment looks towards the last six commandments and instructs us how we are to live with our neighbors. So it's this bridge, it's this connecting point between God, ourselves, and everyone else, the neighbors around us. And it's telling us, it instructs us, what does it say? The very first word says, remember. Man, we're going to talk about that word remember when it comes to communion too. But obviously, we forget some really important things. So Scripture tells us to remember. Remember God. Remember what He has done. He has created all things. Remember, He is the true provider of everything that we need. The fourth commandment teaches us that we need to fight our misconceptions on what we feel or think that we might need to bring us peace and prosperity, to bring us relationship with God. The fourth commandment tells us to remember what is true about who God is and what His promises are for us. I'm going to push back a little bit on this for the fourth commandment. I don't like it, actually. I don't like this motion because it's like, I don't know. I think we get this wrong vision and this wrong understanding that means, dude, you just need to take a nap and it would be good for your life. You just need to rest. But I think what, instead of thinking Sabbath as rest, I think a better thought to be, man, Sabbath is to rest in. To rest in. To fight, to intentionally rest in God. And remember, He is where we truly find peace and rest. It's in His power and it's in His presence that we can find the rest that Sabbath is talking about. And man, we have to fight like crazy to make it happen. I don't know what the motion should be. I was thinking like a boxing, but then I don't know. It's not fighting either, but we have to fight to be able to rest in God. That's what Sabbath is all about. Man, that's what we long for. I think we long for this, with this peace that God's promises. I think we long for that more than anything else, whether we can put our finger on it or not. And we seek it out in all these things that are fleeting. What do you guys think about when you think of the word resist? I'm not asking you to say it out loud, but or resistance. Man, I think of fighting the system. That's what I think of, resist, fighting the system. I think of not being trapped into the way that the majority of people are living or thinking. Does that make sense? Resist, just falling into these ruts that our culture creates for us. And I think this is the true foundation of Sabbath. It is this resistance. This resistance against the culture and turning to God in an intentional way to remember why I was created. In Brueggemann's book, he explains so well the context in which the Ten Commandments are given. Think about this. The Ten Commandments were given to Moses within a couple of months. I was reading early this morning, actually, that some people think maybe the Ten Commandments were given 50 days-ish after the Exodus. Like these people had been slaves for over 400 years. And then the commandments are given to Moses, right? Because what were the people living in for hundreds of years? God's people, God's followers. They were living under Pharaoh, right? And Pharaoh had an endless demand of production for them. Endless demand of production for them. Pharaoh and his gods were powerful because of this production, right? That's where they got all of their status and their glory. Provision, man, was only through production. That's the only way they were provided for. And there was no Sabbath. There was no Sabbath. There wasn't even a dream of a Sabbath. They had to keep producing day after day, or they would have no food, right? They would have no provision, or they would be beaten or tortured. And what is God trying to teach them through the commandments? Man, I need to retrain my people, basically is what he's saying. Man, they've been living in such a way that I need to retrain them. First of all, there's only one God, and it's not the Pharaoh, right? It is not the Pharaoh. That's what the Ten Commandments, the first three, are all about who God is. And he's teaching them that I am the true provider. God is provider, right? It is not the Pharaoh. It is not our production. He's teaching us your value is because I created you and you are mine. It's not based on what you produce. It's not based on what you own. Did you guys hear that? That's me a lot of the time. I get my value out of what I produce, out of what I own. But God is saying, no, your value is because I created you and you are mine. And then God is teaching them Sabbath to rest and remember. Rest and remember. You people don't remember real good. So you need to rest and remember. Reorient yourself on a regular basis to the truth of where your value comes from, what your heart should be set on. In the Ten Commandments, God is retraining the followers. He's retraining his followers how to think. I love what Crispin read. It's one of my favorite verses, and it really echoes this. Again, it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, that's you and me, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Man, that's just remembering. Man, our bodies are a living sacrifice. They should be holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Then verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Man, I think the Exodus people could have really valued from these verses, right? They're written by Paul way after. But man, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's work there. Renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Man, Sabbath is an important part of that. You have to declutter everything that's come in every week and just say, man, I'm unplugging. I'm going to rest and remember who I am through God's eyes, not who I am through my boss's eyes, not who I am through my professor's eyes, not who I am, fill in the blank. Reorienting our thoughts to the true thoughts of God, that's what Sabbath is all about, to the reality of his existence and his desire for our life. So 2026 is 4 days away. You guys know that? Yeah, I did the math. 4 days. Man, if you truly want to prioritize your growth in your faith, I believe Sabbath is a key tool. So I want to get practical because I think a lot of people are like, I cannot give up a day a week. Are you crazy? And no, I'm not crazy. And I want to give you some practical insights on it, because I'm not asking, I don't think God is asking for a day a week. For some it's possible, for most it's not right now. But here's some practical advice. Just start small. Earlier I mentioned I went on a run yesterday, and it was about a 4-mile run. And for some of you, you're like, man, that sounds impossible. That sounds crazy. And there's some of you sitting over here, well, that's my warm-up. That isn't even a run. That doesn't count. So let me tell you how I started running again. It was by walking. I walked a lot. I just went for a walk for a long time till I thought, wow, maybe I could actually jog a little bit. And it's the same with Sabbath. Man, start small. It doesn't have to be a whole day. It could be a half a day. It could be an hour. It could be less than an hour. But it needs to be intentionally set aside to remember who God is and to rest in that. But you need to schedule it, or it's not going to just happen. It's going to be like, whoops, what just happened? I did a Sabbath. It's not going to happen that way. You have to schedule it out and then protect the time. Value it more than anything else on your schedule. I think that's just practical. You have to actually, if you desire to grow closer to Jesus Christ, you have to be intentional about it. I would say start with prayer too. Man, every Sabbath I have, I simply ask God to help me focus on Him. And I really ask, help me to do what I need to do to experience Your power and Your presence. I ask Him to guide me to resting in Him and asking that I could truly understand what it means to be in His power and His presence. This is something, again, the Holy Spirit is so critical in Sabbath, and to be able to hear His voice and to seek His guidance on what it looks like for each of us. I think another big practical thing is, man, you got to be forgiving to yourself. We beat ourselves up so much, and it's probably the biggest reason we don't start is because we know we're going to fail. And isn't that silly that we don't do things because we know we're going to fail, or we fail once? Like, I was running for a while and I stopped, and then it was really hard to start again because I'm like, I'm just going to quit again. So it's just this negative spiraling talk that we never do it then. It's like, if you did one Sabbath a month, celebrate it and be grateful. But if you have a Sabbath and you have to cancel, man, reschedule it and give yourself some grace too. I think one of the biggest reasons we don't do Sabbath is, I think, again, the deceiver gets in our head and just talks us out of practicing it and rescheduling it. Does that make sense? Man, just stick at it. I think another huge important thing is to invite others into your space in this and encourage you in it. Like, how are you doing with Sabbath? What are you doing for Sabbath? Here's another big thing is, you don't have to do Sabbath alone. I think that's a big misconception. It's like, man, I have to be sitting somewhere with a candle, and there has to be music, and there has to be, you know, and again, that can be awesome Sabbath, actually, but it's not for everyone. Think about the things in your life that where you have felt God's presence and power the strongest. Like, set some time aside and think about that. Man, I remember that time when I felt so, for me, it's on hikes a lot, like leaving my phone alone somewhere and just walking, and it's like, wow, such clarity of mind, looking at God's creation. But yeah, I love to do it with people too. Nancy and I will hike together, or we'll intentionally try to get together with other people to do Sabbath together. Because again, what it means is stopping together, remembering who God is, and resting in that together. So inviting others in to your journey on Sabbath, I think, is really, really important. Again, planning your time is important. I know some people that said they could never do it, and they are doing it on a regular basis now. And one of the things that they've learned that is super important for them is to think about the chores that they normally would do during that free time and actually try to get the chores done beforehand. Because there's something about chores that, man, they just weigh on our, like, even if we're out doing stuff, we're like, oh, I should be home, you know, washing the dog. Whatever it is, you know, you carry that weight into your Sabbath. So sometimes it's like, just plan for those chores at a different time. And then for some reason, you can enjoy Sabbath more. So these people that I'm talking about, they get their chores done a day or two in advance. And that sounds hard, but they said it's worth it because it really lightens their load during Sabbath time. Yeah, there's so many other things. Like if you're really interested in Sabbath, we have some great tools for you that have a lot better recommendations than the ones I thought of early this morning. But yeah, I would just encourage you guys, man, our hope and prayer as a church is that we can help everyone move one step closer to Jesus. And this is something that Pastor George, Pastor Matthew, and myself, man, we believe in Sabbath because we've seen the fruit in our lives and we've seen the fruit in other people's lives too. So if you're at all interested in it, if the Holy Spirit's moving and you need to pursue this, our doors are open. Please come and talk to us and we would love to encourage you in that. Sabbath as resistance, saying no to our culture of now and our culture of productivity. Let me pray for us. Father, I do thank you for this morning. Man, I do pray again for your help, that we would understand the power of Sabbath, the power of remembering who you are, who you truly are, all of your attributes, all of your promises for us, all your purposes for us. Help us to remember that and to know that. And help us to be able to rest in that. I am guilty of resting in, if I could just get my savings a little bit higher, if I could just get that one thing fixed, if people would just like me more. There's so many things that I rest in that if I can just attain that, that I will find peace and purpose. And it's just a lie. It's a big lie. So I pray that you would help us to understand what you promise us is eternal and truth. It's a peace that passes all understanding or explanation. So I do pray that you would help us to desire that more than anything else. Father, I do pray again that you would humbly want to serve you and to be the people you want us to be so that we could shine your light. So, Father, yeah, I just pray that you would continue to work in people's minds and hearts and lead and guide them in the direction you want them to go in 2026. And I do pray for your protection, for your wisdom, for your power. Father, I do pray you'd give us eyes to see foolishness too, that we would have the wisdom to be able to turn a different direction. But I just pray that we would give you honor and glory and we could be a light for you in Salida and for wherever you may call us this year. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.